All right, we'll call to order the Town of Stevensville's council meeting for September 24th, 2018 at 7 p.m. Ms. Tribbency, would you please read the roll call?
Mayor Dooley?
Here.
Council members Barker?
Here.
Council member Holcomb?
Here.
Council member Michelson?
Here.
And council member Smith?
Here.
All right, thank you. Would you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we've got, next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. There are three sets of minutes, August 27th and September 10th town council meetings, and September 17th committee of the whole meeting are up for approval tonight. Ms. Holcomb.
I make a motion we approve of the August 27th, 2018 and September 10th, 2018 town council meeting minutes and the September 17th, 2018 council of the whole meeting minutes as are written.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker?
Second motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the August 27th and September 10th town council meeting minutes and the September 17th committee of the whole meeting minutes. Any council discussion? Any public comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Smith?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
And Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Thank you. Next item is approval of the claims. I believe the claims numbers 14679 through 14694. Ms. Holcomb.
I move we approve the biweekly claims number 14679 through 14694.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the biweekly claims numbers 14679 through 14694. Discussion from council. Ms. Holcomb.
Page 1 of 5, 14687 for $2,000 for plate compactor.
That was in the budget for the split between the streets, water, and sewer, and I actually got it at about $300 less than the budgeted for.
Thanks, April. Any further questions from council on the claims? Any public comment on the claims? You have to speak? Okay. Oh. All right. Hearing no other comment on the claims, we'll call a vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Smith?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Just passed the signature page around tonight. Okay, next item on the agenda are our administrative reports. First up is airport. Mr. O'Badney.
My name is Paula Vega. I'm one of the two volunteers to answer the field calls up at the airport. We've had a good summer at the airport because nothing bad has happened. We had a fly-in on July where people came from all over the country. They had a wonderful time. They stayed for about 10 days, used the facility. They went downtown, stayed at a restaurant, stayed at different motels, rented cars in town. Went up to the fly-in up in Missoula, had a wonderful time, and left money in the coffers here. They were very, very, very thankful. We've retained Morris and Merrily for the engineers for the next 5 years. Morris and Merrily has also gotten us a grant. Diane at the FAA up in Helena says that we are at the top of their list because of how nice the airport is and how well we've kept it up. The town has worked very diligently with the FAA and Helena, and they have granted us another large grant to fix the airport runways and the airport taxiways, which are falling apart. So that's going to start next spring, hopefully. Mayor Dooley, would you like me to go on to the first new business or wait?
We'll wait until we get to that agenda, okay. If you don't mind. Thank you.
No, that's why I'm asking. Other than that, does the council have any questions?
No? Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Wait. Public comment?
Are there any questions from the public for the airport manager? Mr. Cruz.
Mr. Cruz, 316 9th Street.
Paul, I discovered that the fence was being worked on back in July.
I'm sorry, say it again.
I discovered the fence was being worked on back in July up at the airport.
Yes.
And I reported that to Councilmember Michelson and your board chairman. Can you give us an update of what's going on that fence up there? Because it's been 3 months and still falling apart up there.
You have to, when you ask and couch that question, the only way I can answer it is my opinion. Knowing several of the people who were involved up at the airport, knowing the builder who started working on it up there, having been involved in a listening capacity to some of the discussions that person had with other people at the airport, without trying to find fault and blame, I will say in my emphatic thoughts, gotta be real careful my words here instead of opinions, that the decision was made by the builder that he thought that he had approval of it when he did not. This is a builder that, in my line of work, I have had personal association with, dealing with this person, working with them. They are very well versed in the idea and the fact that they have to have purchase orders. They have to have official approval. It does not go by word of mouth. It does not go by, hey, I think you should get it, or anything else. There was no de facto language given to that person to say, please go ahead and do it. There was no language given to that person to say, yes, you have it, you can start on it. There was language to the effect that, we think you do a good job. We think your bid is good. Wow, you're local. This is all great. That's the extent of everything that I listened to when I listened to the discussions that person had with other personnel at the airport. Here again, I believe the builder is a good person, but I also believe that the builder had just decided that he was going to get it and went up there on his own volition and accord and started it erroneously. Does that answer your question?
Except for when are we going to get it fixed?
When it will get fixed. I have talked with Craig, the supervisor of the Air Force Board. Craig tells me that bids have been put out. Is that correct?
That's correct. The finance officer is working with several vendors to...
And do we have any bids that have come in that you've decided on?
April?
We just issued those last... We sent out the requests last week with the deadline of Friday and at noon, and then I will notify them by 5 o'clock Friday evening, and we will start work as soon after that as possible.
Mr. Cruz.
Follow up question on that. Why would the town have to pay to restore it when the contractor started work without authorization?
Why would the town have to what?
Why does the town have to pay to restore the fence?
So if I may answer that, we're not restoring the fence back to the way it was. We're actually expanding the fence around the SRE building to better accommodate the fire traffic through there. So it'll be a completely different layout. Mr. Cruz.
Well, I understand that that went before the airport board, and the airport board said, no, we don't want to do that, but if the town wants to do it, the town can do it. But has the council voted to modify that and got FAA approval to change that fence design?
FAA has approved it. It's not a decision that the council needed to undertake to move a fence. Thanks, Paul, for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll move on to our building report. It should be included in the packet. Are there any questions from council or the public on the building report? Ms. Mark.
When it says hitching post, new SFR, what are we referring to on that?
Single family residential.
See a lot of hitching post, trading post.
Those are out in the Twin Creeks subdivision, so a lot of the vacant lots are starting to be built on. Any questions from council or the public? Mr. Cruz.
Cruz, 316 Knight Street. When will we be advertising for a new building inspector / zoning administrator?
It started today. All right, move on to the fire report. Chief Motley.
I believe we're required in your packet. If not, I'll get on the screen. Before you have a report, basically the stats for August. We're relatively flat enough as far as the fires go, which is a good thing. We had relatively clean air to breathe for once in a change, which was nice, appreciate it. You can see the rescue EMS incidences, 45 in August, medical assist, 36, vehicle accidents were 6, and so forth. Year-to-date calls were 341, 58 was for the month of August. Short response time, 2 minutes, 45 seconds, and then the 32-minute calls up. As far as department news, things going on, we signed on and participated in an All Valley, if you will, All Valley SCBA grant, which we were successful in obtaining. That grant, I'm sure some of you saw an article in the paper referencing that grant. It looks like we haven't decided yet as to who the vendor will be and as to what specific model of SCBAs that we will be purchasing. We do have 4 vendors coming to do presentations. We also have SCBAs coming that we will be able to take for a test drive, if you will. Play with them, wear them, work in them, see what we like, what we don't like. So that's all a process that we're getting ready to undertake. That'll happen during the month of October. So in the next couple of weeks, we'll be undergoing that. We do have a dollar amount on the SCBA, but we have not, like I said, locked in on which vendor is going to be supplying those SCBAs. So we really truly don't have a cost per SCBA hammered out and finalized yet. We do have a range. When we did apply for the grant, we had to write a spec. We wrote a spec. Chief Knapp from Corvallis wrote the spec. And that spec specs out at right around $8,000 a copy per SCBA. We are looking to obtain 16 of those SCBAs. So we will have a grant match somewhere in the neighborhood of $12,000 to $13,000 that will be coming due in the next couple of months, maybe even as late as the first of the year, before that all comes through. So that's a good thing, because if you look at the number, $12,000 to $13,000 versus $8,000 a copy times 16, it's a great win for the town. To be doing that, and there's one item that we're not going to be able to live without, and that's an SCBA that is NFPA compliant. So we have that we're working on and going forward with. Also, the last couple of weeks, Assistant Chief Henderson did resign from the position as his residence is moving from within the town limits to outside the town limits. So he did resign, stepped down from the Assistant Chief's position, still is a member of the fire department. And still active in serving as his job and his other commitments will allow him to respond and serve. So at this time, we do not have an assistant fire chief for the town. The mayor and myself are looking at what we think we need to do moving forward to one, fill that position, and who we deem to be qualified. So that will all be coming forward. As to what we want to do with that position and how that all looks in the near future. So that's what's going on there. Other than that, Fire Prevention Week is coming up first part of October, Homecoming Parade first part of October again. We did do 9/11 Memorial Service, which was fairly well attended. It was a nice service, we had a great day. Thank you, Councilmember Smith, for attending. Any questions?
Any questions for the chief? Mr. Michelson.
Jeff, are you guys going to stick pretty solid with that $45,000 on pumper truck that's on the board out there? The one that we were going to put in the surplus, but you thought, you and Mary Dewey thought you could get a better price?
$45,000, that's on the old International Engine 2010. $45,000 was a what we deem to be a fair resale value of that apparatus after talking with our mechanic, Sean Garner. I don't know how hard we are on that number. I think that we could have some room on that to move depending on what offer came in. I mean, I don't think we need to go to a low ball, you know, give it away type deal. But I think there should be some room in there. I would rather see it go at a lesser number and have it go and recap those funds back into the general fund. I think that would make some good sense for the town to do that, especially looking at what money we've expended in the replacement of that apparatus. We're in a positive cash flow position on that, and we also have dual region 2510, the OKE Federal Drive, in reserve status. So we do have a reserve status pumper. If we do need to put that back into service, we definitely can do that. But from a cash point of view, Engine 2010, the International, that's a good piece of a good cash flow bargaining chip, if you whatever you want to put that from the town to recoup some money back into the general fund to offset the $40,000 that we spent on the two engines that replaced it. So yeah, if we kind of get down into the 30,000, 30 whatever range, that wouldn't hurt us. I think we would still look at a very good positive cash flow position on where we are apparatus wise and dollars that are being spent.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for the chief? Anything from the public? Great. Thanks, Jeff. We'll move on to guests. Before we get to Victoria, we have one other guest who is more or less here just for observance, and that's Dan Clark from the Local Government Center. He's joining us on a kind of a side trip, and we'll get to that agenda item down the road. Victoria Howell is here to represent the North Valley Public Library District and to invite Mayor and Council to a planning meeting. Victoria?
Thanks. So I'm Victoria Howell, and I am the chair of the North Valley Library Board. I've been on that board for about 5 years, and it's a five-member board that is actually an elected position. The Board of Trustees for the North Valley Public Library District is holding community listening sessions in October to help create our strategic plan. We've engaged the services of a professional facilitator from the State Library, and we're asking for your help and your opinions. Based on what we learn, the board will develop a strategic plan that addresses community wants and needs. The purpose of the sessions is to learn what you define as positive contributions to the library and ways in which the library can improve. And we also want to know how the library can assist the entire community in its goals. I know that you've been headed towards a master plan for the town, and we want to try to fit into that in any way that we can. So these listening sessions are happening on October 23rd, that's a Tuesday, and we have two sessions, one in the morning, 7:30 to 9, and one in the evening, 6 to 8, and we will provide a meal. I just want to give you a little bit of information about the library and about our district. We're an independent library district. We encompass the Stevensville and Lone Rock school districts. We're supported by property taxes. And our budget is about $350,000 this year. We also get a little bit of state and federal money. The population of our service area is 10,283, and we currently have 3,153 registered borrowers. The library is open 52 weeks a year, 52 hours a week, and we serve about 948 people per week. We have 219 computer uses per week, and a total of 73,845 items have circulated so far this year. That includes hard copy and electronic. We have a really busy computer access area. The library offers a lot of special programming year-round for adults and children, really popular stuff, and it brings a lot of people into the downtown. Figuring out how best to address the issues of our aging building, which is actually three buildings cobbled together into one 6,540 square foot building. That's one of the areas of concern that could be addressed in the strategic plan. We also have an active foundation that was set up to help us with fundraising and to assist the library in every way that it can. And that foundation is actually is helping to organize these meetings. So some of you may have been called already by one of the foundation members, but our board just really wanted to make sure that you had a personal invitation, because input from town government is a critical part of the strategic plan. We've got to have you there, if at all possible. So we really urge you to attend. And I'd be happy to answer any library questions anytime that you might have. Really look forward to seeing you there. I just wanted to give you these, because it's like a little...
This is our public notice that we put out about the meeting. And then these are just little reminder cards I thought might be helpful, because who wants to carry around a bunch of paper? But we really do need an RSVP because of the food that we'll be providing, and also because of the fire code, because we have a limited number of people that can be in that building. It's in the community room of the library. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for coming,
Victoria.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on to correspondence. We have a couple of items that are not included in the packet tonight. We have an email dated September 20th from Jim Cruz. This email is for town correspondence for the council meeting of 9/24/18. Mayor Dewey, do you really think that you can ask for an $11,977 pay raise for yourself via a budget amendment? What justification do you have to make such a request? Where is the supporting documentation? You knew how much the position of mayor paid when you decided to run for office. Live with it, or go find a job like the rest of the small town mayors in Montana. From all I have heard, you and the finance officer have balked at even spending less than $1,000 to get four decent laptops for the town council, threatening not to fund all of the council members for their May 2019 trip to the NMIA conference in Billings, claiming there are insufficient funds to purchase the computers and allow for the council to attend the conference. Now you have the audacity to try and slip into the budget amendment an $11,977 pay raise for yourself. Under council rules, you should not even be allowed to even discuss the agenda item, as it is an item that directly affects you and is being put forth by you. It is a conflict of interest for you to participate in the town, and the town attorney ought to advise you to this effect. Council rules under Part 6, Section 3, Paragraph 2, council rules govern how the council meetings and agenda are assembled. They also govern you as the presiding officer. You must obey them. If the presiding officer of the council has an interest in a matter pending before the council as defined by the laws of the state of Montana or as advised by the town attorney, he or she shall yield the chair to a member of the council during the course of debate and decision concerning the matter in which he or she has an interest. Reference 7-5-4103 MCA, Council Rules and Discipline. The council may determine the rules of its proceedings, punish its members for improper conduct, and expel any member for the same by 2/3 vote of the members elected. I do not see how you cannot have an interest as you place the item of the agenda. Specifying a budget amendment to give yourself an $11,977 pay raise. Many people will see this as a direct assault against the wishes of the public. I would recommend that you figure out your job duties as mayor. I bet you will not find that it includes you spending our town resources trying to figure out how to get the council to give you a pay raise. Jim Cruz. Next piece of correspondence was received through our website today, or this morning, from a woman named Linda. I can't pronounce her last name, I apologize, in regards to the Scarecrow Festival. She writes, I would like to urge the mayor and city council to to please consider moving the Scarecrow Festival to another location, such as Lewis and Clark Park. I have watched these over the years and marvel that no one has been seriously hurt or killed due to the dangerous habit of clogging both sides of roadway with vehicles. Montana state law, as well as city section 24-268, prohibit parking on the shoulder of roadways unless for emergency purposes only. I and several others no longer patronize local businesses in Stevensville during this time due to having witnessed or been involved in several near collisions with vehicles, people, and dogs. I have seen drivers so intent at gawking at the displays that they veer into oncoming traffic. For the safety of all involved in this wonderful festival, I urge you to consider moving it to another venue. Thank you. Right, move on to public comments. Public comments is an opportunity for the public to comment on anything on tonight's agenda or under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. You may also comment under each agenda item when public comment is called under that item. Is there any public comment? Please step forward to the podium and state your name and address for the record. Mr. Minmack.
My name is Gene Mimack. I live at 1025 Ironcap Road, Stevensville. I wasn't planning on making a public comment, but after seeing the email from former Mayor Cruz, it seems to me, with all respect to both the former mayor and the council, we seem to have, in Stevensville in particular, a particular propensity for misunderstanding, in my opinion, the issue of what constitutes a conflict of interest. We've had many discussions when I was mayor among council members and members of the public to try to define what a true conflict of interest is for council members, for the mayor, for members of the public. There are specific statutes that deal with this and they've been referred to. It's often easily misunderstood, I think, where a conflict of interest is present where it isn't. And it often revolves around this issue of, do you have something to gain personally from participating or making a decision that allows you to gain something personally? And that's often misunderstood about what a gain is. So I'm really encouraging everyone to use perhaps this opportunity down here on the agenda item to meet with the local government center and the other authorities here that speak on some of these issues to ask for some guidance on the issue of conflict of interest. Because it comes up, it's a legitimate thing to bring up, but I believe that it's often in Stevensville, in my experience, to be misunderstood about how we apply it. A couple of good examples might be whether or not the mayor has a conflict of interest for doing something that is in fact his right to do, which is put an item for consideration on the agenda. The council decides compensation by resolution. I'm assuming you've done that for this budget year. Perhaps not. I don't know what the progress on that is. But the council decides these matters. It's no conflict to put something up for discussion. Absolutely not. And unless there would be a tie in this case, the mayor doesn't have a vote. In the event of a tie on the issue of compensation, it could be argued that the mayor would recuse himself from breaking that tie. I would like the council to decide on their own whether or not this item should come forward. The only possible understanding of a conflict of interest on that item could come from whether or not the mayor should break a tie. It could be argued either way. I think when it came up when I was mayor, this is not a new discussion about compensation for the mayor of the town of Stevensville. There's been many discussions about it and many agreements made between the council, members of the public weighing in, and usually the situation gets resolved and something happens. Whether or not you move forward and how to do that is just a matter of the process and the participation in the process. One could argue that you vote on your own salary. You vote on your own stipend. I mean, it doesn't matter the amount. It matters the intent. You're required statutorily to approve salaries and wages for yourself and other members of the staff. That's not a conflict of interest. It's just doing your job. The reason that you have these things come up as agenda items so the public can understand what what one might intend to do, weigh in on that decision, and you guys weigh in on the decision, you decide, and with all due respect to everyone, what's the best thing to do? There's no conflict of interest in doing your job and doing it well, which I know and I believe that everyone who sits at that table has that intent. So I really encourage you to take a look at conflict of interest when you, if you go ahead with this meeting down here and help the public understand and yourselves understand about what the proper application of conflict of interest is. I think this came up some time ago as well. I wasn't here for the council discussion about a member of the public, who I believe was the father-in-law of the mayor, to install at no fee a boiler that needs to be replaced at the pool. Now, I wasn't here, but on the face of it, from what I read, the arguments about doing that was a suggestion that there was somehow a conflict of interest for a member of the public to volunteer to do something for free, which is well within his professional expertise. At the worst case scenario, you could have said, it seemed like to me, instead of turning down that generous offer, which was saying, listen, let's put out an RFP. Let's give every plumber a chance to say, would you install our furnace for free? And see how many responses we get, and take the most logical one that says, yes, I'd like to do that for free. That's a generous offer. What's that?
Take the cheapest one out of three.
Yeah, take the cheapest one out of three. Yeah, let's be fair. There's no nepotism involved in a member of the public who happens to be the father-in-law of the mayor, who said, I'd like to do this as a service to the town out of the generosity of my heart. I think that was a disservice to the town's taxpayers, because it cost to hire somebody else to do it, and it's a disservice to the member of the public who came forward in good faith and said, I'd like to do this. So I really urge you to take a generous look at these issues when they come up, and to really understand what conflict of interest is and what it isn't, and what a fair application of that law is and what it isn't. Thank you very much.
Ms. Ecker.
Street. I would like to, number one, I meant to do this last time, but I got here too late last meeting, but I want to thank the council, and I want to thank the road department for getting those stop signs up on Church and College and Pine Street. They are much more visible than what the yield signs were, and so I just want to thank you guys for getting that done, and I hope that the accidents, there were no more accidents on those streets. So anyhow, I just want to thank you guys. Want to make sure that you guys know that we appreciate it. So
you're welcome.
Thank you,
Ms. Lowell.
Nancy Lowell to 11 Church, and I've been listening about the raise, et cetera, et cetera, and according to my knowledge, once your budget's set for the year, you don't change it. You know, you've set your budget. Typically, unless it's an emergency hire or it's something that the council talked about during the budget process, you know, all the years that I was here, the budgets, once they were set, were not touched till the following July. So I just wanted to add that. I thought maybe things had changed, so today I did call two financial officers in the state that I know, and they basically said the same thing, that, you know, it's very, very, very unusual to change your budget. So, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I might be a little premature on this, but I see the security cameras that are down at Lewis and Clark is being brought up. And I think a discussion needs to be made about what is happening with police protection in this town. And I think it was for Mickelson there that was commenting on some of the crimes that have been reported to him. So I would like to hear from Chief Marvel on what has been the number of crimes that we've had to rely upon county services to respond to. What is the rate of crime in the town? I know some senior people have expressed concerns to me about the level of what they consider delinquent behavior in the town. So I'd like to know what is being done to address that issue. I'm certain that one police officer in town is unable to handle that job by himself. And with regard to security cameras, if we have no one to respond to any crimes being committed, what's the point of filming it? And I know people come back and say, well, we'll have evidence on tape later, et cetera, but it looks to me like the first priority is prompt response to crimes in commission. And I think the council needs to be addressing what we do with this police department, which is evidently, sadly, undermanned. Thank you.
Excuse me. Any further public comment? Okay. Move on to unfinished business. The first item there is discussion decision update on the installation of security cameras at Lewis and Clark Park. I guess I defer, Mr. Smith, you kind of took this project on at the last meeting, and so kind of defer to you for an update. I know the chief of police has a proposal as well that he'd like to share tonight with you.
I actually would like to make a motion that we move this to after the discussion of new business D, because this has a direct correlation with that issue there.
Is there a second? That was a motion, correct?
Yes.
Ms. Barker?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to move unfinished item A ahead of new business item D as it relates to public hearing date considering the fiscal year budget amendment.
Actually, after that.
Correct. After that. Okay. Any discussion on that motion from the council? Any public comment? Okay. Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Smith?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes unanimously. We'll cover this item after new business D. Next item is unfinished business B, discussion decision on or an update on the required bullying, harassment, and sexual harassment in the workplace training as directed by town council. This was something brought forward by the council at the last meeting. I just wanted to bring an update to council and keep you informed as to how that's progressing. Some staff started that training last week on Friday, as I reported in my Friday update to you. At least one of them has completed it. It's completed it in its entirety. It's taking about an hour for everyone to get through it, and so some of it we're breaking up. We'll get some dates scheduled in this room for the council and volunteers to come in and complete that training. Those should be forthcoming from Human Resources. We'll end up scheduling a separate evening night to accommodate the fire department's schedule so that those employees are all brought up to speed as well. So, any questions or discussion from the council? Ms. Holcomb.
April, you sent an email about if we had ones that we could take at our job. I'm actually taking like four of them.
Okay, on the same topic.
On the same topic. So I will, once I finish them, I'll print off the certificate and I'll bring them in.
Any further council discussion? Any public comment? All right, we'll move on. New business, discussion decision regarding a new land lease for Airport Lot 1, Block 2. Mr. O'Baggy, present.
A small bit of history, approximately in the year 2005, there was a gentleman that had a hangar, a very nice hangar that was involved in improvements on at the airport. He donated it to the Experimental Aviation EAA 517 chapter. They have owned it for approximately the last 13 or 14 years. They have had it up for sale for just over a year and has now sold, to the best of my knowledge. I spoke with the president of the EAA 517 chapter, and it is being sold to a gentleman named Paul Richards. I don't know that person. He lives down south somewhere. He lives around Hamilton and Derby. So he told me about the airplane that Phil was bringing in. It's a very, very nice airplane, and the transfer should take place very, very shortly. What's important, I feel, to the town is the finances of it, in the sense that when it went to the EAA, the EAA, the 501(c) organization, paid no taxes on it. So for 13 or 14 years, there have been no taxes paid on it to the county. When this new person moves in, it will be a boon to the city for the tax. It will go back on the tax rolls. Does anyone have any questions? Does the council have any questions? It's a very normal transfer.
How much are the taxes on that increase?
I don't know. I haven't seen the assessment on it because I haven't gone back that far. It's quite old. But a hangar of comparable size, and please do not ask me how the Department of Revenue, I've already dealt with them on this, please. Because they will argue with you on what is the sale value, what's the replacement value, what's this value. And I've already gone over that with them on other hangars down there. What do they charge X amount for this hangar and another hangar the same size, what's not as much. They charge more for it, in fact, a lesser hangar. Well, I will not even trend to go there, but I will say approximately in the neighborhood of about $15,000 to $2,000 a year. Hangars, for the, whatever they are actually taxed for what they are at a higher assessment for what they cost than a single family residence. In fact, they're about three times as high per square foot. They're quite expensive.
Mr. Smith.
Are you done, Paul?
Go ahead, yes.
I just make a motion to accept the airport board's decision on the new land lease for the airport, Lot 1, Block 2.
Okay, is there a second? Ms. Holcomb?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve or accept the airport's decision to approve the land lease for at the airport for Lot 1, Block 2. Any further discussion from council? Any public comment? Okay, hearing none, proceed to vote. Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Smith?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Great, thank you. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, council.
Appreciate it. Next item is new business B, discussion decision to suspend council's operating rules, canceling council's October 8th council meeting, regular meeting, and setting an alternative meeting date. Ms. Tribbensee. Ms. Parker.
I make a motion to approve Resolution 387B, a resolution amending the town's...
We're not there yet. We're on B. We haven't presented B yet. We're going to let Audrey present this so you could formulate your motion.
To suspend council operating rules, canceling council's October 8th, 2018 regular meeting and setting an alternative meeting date.
October 1st, 2018 at 7 p.m. Okay. Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to suspend council's operating rules, canceling council's October 8th, 2018 regular meeting and setting an alternative meeting date of October 1st, 2018 at 7 p.m. Any discussion from council? I imagine, you know, you obviously understand the reason why we're doing this is because of Columbus Day, in case the public wasn't aware. It's a town holiday, so the offices will be closed, but we'd still like to get some business done, so we're hoping to reschedule for October 1st. Any further discussion? Public comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Smith?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Thank you. Item is item C, new business item C, discussion decision to approve resolution 387B, a resolution amending the town council rules for the town of Stevensville. Ms. Tribbensee is here to present again.
Thank you, Mayor, council members. As a new person to Stevensville, trying to understand the policies, rules, regulations at a local level and as well as the state level, when I was reading the town council's rules, I came across a discrepancy in language, some conflicting language. In part four of the town rules, it provides a submittal deadline of noon on Wednesday. However, the legal notice in December of 2017 and January of 2018, it was noticed that it's going to be on noon on the Wednesday before it council meeting. So right there we have two statements that say noon on Wednesday, the agenda section and then the legal notice. However, if you go further into the council rules, at the very end of the document under Exhibit B, It provides for a submittal deadline of noon on Thursday. And then the form itself says noon on Thursday. So is it Wednesday or Thursday at noon? So I have put together a resolution amending the town council rules, going with the legal posting notice that we put in the paper, ran twice, and again, like I said, in 2017 and 2018, saying noon on Wednesday. That document was not only posted in the Bitterroot Star, it was posted on our webpage, and then has been continuously posted on our posting board. And so the resolution that you have in your packet does provide for a change from Thursday to Wednesday at noon.
Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve Resolution 387B, a resolution amending the town council rules for the town of Stevensville.
Is there a second? Ms. Parker.
Second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve Resolution 387B, a resolution amending the town council rules for the town of Stevensville. Council discussion.
Thank you. Sorry.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you very much, Audrey.
Thank you.
Public comment. Okay. Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
And Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Next item on the agenda is new business D, discussion decision to set a public hearing date to consider amending the fiscal year 2018-19 budget. At this time, Ms. Van Tassel is going to present, and to avoid the perception of a conflict of interest, I'll yield the chair to Mr. Michelson.
So as there's already been some discussion, we constantly are reviewing the budget and have come up with a few things that we either missed or need to change. So we are asking for a public hearing date to discuss the four items: the purchase of the council computers, the increase in the mayor's honorarium, and actually it's not an increase, a return to the prior honorarium amount. We did not budget for an Arbor Day grant, which we are hoping that Mr. Smith will be kind enough to apply for again and giving us a spending authority on that money, as well as the FAA design grant. We have received an award letter, so we need to recognize that revenue, as well as we need spending authority so that we can proceed with that project. So my hope is we can set a public hearing date. I think that's also scheduled for the first, or we are hoping for the first?
The 22nd.
Okay. So that's what I'm hoping for tonight, is that we can set that date and get the public hearing scheduled and move forward with this.
Will we be able to discuss these each individually, or are they all bundled into one entity, shall we say?
They are currently set. One resolution would be all four items, but we can go into the detail of each of those.
Okay. Mayor Dewey?
One thing we need to add to that, once we know for sure the figure that we received from the FEMA grant for the SCBAs. That's something that we had a note on. We were waiting for Corvallis World to give us a firm figure of what we need to budget for, because we haven't put that in the budget. We weren't sure when we formulated the budget that grant would come through.
Will we have that prior to this public hearing?
We're going to ask them for it and see what happens.
Maybe. Well, if we have it, we can include it.
Any questions, more questions from the council? Are there any questions from the public?
Nancy Lowell, I'm wondering why you would be requesting a public hearing for a salary increase. I think the people of Stevensville elected these four people to represent us and do the best taking care of our money, and I don't understand why it'd be a public hearing. I think it would be something that the council would vote on, since we do put our money in your hands and have to trust you.
So, thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Good question. Are we allowing public comment before there's a motion on the floor? I'm just asking procedurally, is that what we're doing?
Mr. Michelson's the chair, and that appears to be the case.
He's the chair?
I yielded the chair of this item to him.
Discussion of this agenda item as to whether or not you're going to have a approve or disapprove of public hearing.
Have a date.
Okay, excuse me. Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Gene.
No.
Is there any more questions from the public?
Jim Thaddeus, 509 Mission Street, Stephenville. Usually when you give a raise, it's for merit. And Brandon, you don't deserve it. I'm sorry. You have no clue on budget items. You either have money or don't have money. You have money. All of a sudden, we have $12,000 for your salary increase. All the other previous meetings, there hasn't been any money. A true leader, in my opinion, is one that can bring people together. What you have done is divided everybody. And it's worse than it's ever been. And, you know, I was on the council. I would make a motion to cut your salary in half. Sorry.
Thank you, Jim.
Sarah Grove, 615 Tamarack Lane. And my opinion is the exact opposite of that gentleman's. Not that matters. I think Mayor Dewey has done a fantastic job, and I'm impressed sitting here listening to how this meeting is going and how things are moving along. So I don't know whether he should have a raise or not. If it's reinstating something that was taken away earlier, then, you know, maybe we should consider it. But I wouldn't outright say he doesn't deserve it.
Cindy Hall, 514.
Excuse me.
I just need to bring this back. The motion is, what is the date? That's all we need is a motion to set a date. Then we can have this discussion.
Oh, please.
I make a motion to set a public hearing date for October 1st at 6.
22nd.
October 22nd, excuse me, at 6:30 to consider amending the fiscal year 2018-19 budget with the exclusions of the mayor's honorarium increase of $11,977 salary and contributions.
Is there a second? Robin?
I'll second it.
It's Ben. First and seconded that we move the council public hearing date to October 22nd, but to not include discussion of the mayor's salary on. Am I correct?
Correct.
Is there any discussion from the council? Councilmember Smith.
I kind of have a hard time when I see we don't have money for security, we don't have money for the police officers to give them a raise. We have accepted Kathy Cook's gracious donation of $5,000 for security cameras, but yet we now have found that money. We lose 16 million gallons of water a month. I just kind of see that we could better use that money to go to the police department, maybe give a raise to the incoming officers. There are so many things that can be done that could, in the long term, again, because this is the third or fourth time that this issue has come before council, and you have been told each and every time that we disagree and it was voted on to not give you that raise. That maybe after that period of time that these accomplishments were made with the raises for the officers, we reestablished the police force, things like that, then that might behoove receiving a raise at that point. But at this point, I just, with everything going on in the community, with, you know, I just see that the money could be better spent elsewhere. And this really, to me, affects accepting Mrs. Cook's offer for cameras. If we have that kind of money, then we should expend that money on the security and or to rebuild our police department and or both. So I kind of have a hard time with that, and that's all I'll say.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Is there any other comments from the council? Any comments from the public? Chief Motley.
In regards to the motion on the table, I think that you also need to add in there the SCBA grant match that was not in the motion that was as presented on the table. I think that needs to be on the same discussion topic when we have the budget amendment topic discussion. Also, question to the council is, what are we going for a CIP budget for this fiscal year? What are we spending on CIP projects and those monies? We're not talking about that at all in the budgeting process. I wonder where we are there. Are we taking money out of the CIP to fund these things or not? Or what are we doing there?
Thank you, Chief Motley. Is there any other questions from the public? Yes, ma'am.
Cinda Holt, 514 Winters Lane. I would just like to go on record saying that the mayor has my full support, and I think he does an excellent and thoughtful job.
Thank you.
Kim French, 444 Red Fox. I don't live in town, but this is a stipend, not a salary. This was never a job. This was your volunteer work to the community. You are not out to make a living by it, and you don't quit a job knowing full well you're going to make less at your next one. That's something you eat yourself. It's called being a grown-up, and it's making choices. So if you loft a high-paying job to accept the stipend of $800 a month,
Mr. Michelson, I just bring to your attention that the item on the floor for consideration is the hearing date,
yes,
not the merits of whether a salary raise is discussed at the hearing.
There's a motion on the floor to move the public hearing date.
No. Motion on the floor at this time to hold the public hearing to discuss the budget adjustment, the Arbor Day FAA design only grant, and then the chief would like us to add the SCBA grant that will be received as part of that discussion.
Okay.
I would like to amend the motion that I previously stated. I'd like to make a motion, or the motion that I stated was I make a motion to set the public hearing date for October 22nd at 6:30 to consider amending the fiscal year 2018-19 budget with the exclusions of the mayor's honorarium increase of $11,977 salary and contributions, to reword this to include the council budget adjustments, the Arbor Day grant for $300, the FAA design only grant, and the CBA grants
match.
Is there a second? Robin?
I'll second it.
It's been motioned and seconded to, I'm not going to repeat all that. But it's what Councilmember Parker said. Is there any more comments from the council? The public? Chief Motley?
So you set the date on the 22nd of October, and through our meetings throughout the month of October, I will work diligently to try to get you a solid number so we have something to discuss with them.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any more comments from the public? Hearing none, I'll go for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson votes aye. With that, I'll yield the chair back to Mayor Dewey.
Okay, just to be clear, you had an amendment on the floor, and so the amendment has been passed. You still have the original motion. which has been amended, and so I recommend you call for the vote on that motion as well.
Okay, I'll call for the vote on that motion as well. Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson votes aye. Thank you, Mr. Dewey, and with that, I'll yield the chair back to you.
Okay. We'll move on to unfinished business item A, discussion decision update on the installation of security cameras at Lewis and Clark Park. Mr. Smith, do you want to pick up where we left off?
I have diligently been talking to people in regards to this. I actually sent Kathy some information from one gentleman that gave us some cost associations. It sounds like there will be a presentation tomorrow to the Civic Club at their meeting tomorrow evening in regards to this for their possible contribution to this. With the quote that was received and forwarded on to Kathy, basically it could cost anywhere from $3,500 to $6,500, and it is an expandable system, so you can add cameras at literally just the cost of the camera and the gentleman's labor to come out and put them in. They are all weather camera systems. It's being directly into a DVR system that has a large capacity memory system. So again, it would be of use to the police department. Even if they weren't able to respond, they might be able to get some usable data. So we're still looking at other issues and options, and as soon as I have more information regarding that, I will return to council and mayor with this, and we'll proceed from there.
Okay. Do you mind if the chief of police makes a presentation?
Chief. Please.
Thank you. So I too went and did some research, and we actually had an opportunity to meet with Fish and Game to discuss what they do. They're arguably well-versed in the use of game cameras and things like that, especially in areas that have severe changes in weather, things like that. We do experience that, obviously. People who live here, we know that. So the recommendation from them was to look at the Bushnell camera systems, and they are game and trail cameras. But what I thought was we could put these cameras on poles, and metal boxes that are tamper-proof, and we can put them in various places around the park. It gives us an opportunity to really focus on individual areas that we want to have coverage on. It wouldn't be some monstrosity. It would just be a simple steel pole, maybe angled at the top. Metal box at the top with the lock that's, you're not going to be able to cut the lock off. You have to reach up in there and undo the lock. What I was thinking is that we could do a total of 10 cameras, and those cameras, two, would be wireless. And they have a Verizon card in them that I can't remember the cost per month.
So 1,500 thumbnails per month is $9.99.
Yeah, $10 a month if it's 1,500 thumbnails. And it would send it directly. We could send it, I think you can do email, or you can send it to a phone. I could send it to the duty phone here. And we can see the activities that are going on certain times of the day. I think we should look at doing a wireless camera at Wilson Clark Park, but also at Father and Valley Park. And then the other eight cameras would be spread out. We'd have one camera covering the playground area, one covering the skate park, several covering the soccer field areas, and the same thing over at Father and Valley. I think we have excellent coverage. It's about $2,700 for that option. That does not include the mounting hardware. So I'm just kind of ballparking in from my long past days of being a welder, it'd probably be around 1500 for the poles, but maybe less. So just another idea, something to consider. They are all weather, the batteries, depending on the wireless cameras, they'll last about 3 months, depending on how many photos they're sending out. But the other cameras would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 to 6 months, which is a pretty good chunk of time. You know, and we would just set up a schedule and be on top of that for going out and changing the batteries. It would be too tough to do. The suggestion on the poles that I have is to put them out about 10 feet just to make them less appealing to mess with. And I know that there's integrated systems. My concern with that, Ray, is that and they're great systems, but if we don't have the cameras distributed, and I don't know if they would be, they'd have to have a power supply, presumably. Yeah.
Well, I was going to wait till you're done, then I would respond.
Oh. So if they need a power supply, you know, that's another expense to have to somehow, you know, either bury lines or do something. So, you know, what I was thinking in terms of stationary cameras would be probably on that utility pole that's right in the center of everything with the cameras facing out. Doesn't necessarily give us the best view. For example, and that's why at Senex, for example, the one camera they have in front, it focuses on license plates, it zooms in, and it does that repeatedly. you'd almost need something like that, unless you had different cameras spread throughout covering the areas. That's my only concern with that.
Mr. Smith.
Basically, I took this gentleman out there who is a security engineer, and we walked the whole site, and I explained exactly what was going on. And his recommendation, which Ms. Cook has, and also it's been forwarded to the Civic Club, because no decision has been really made, and it's their decision. I'm just tracking down all this data. This system would consist of a camera that would look over the whole field itself at multiple angles, getting all of the soccer nets themselves. It would also capture the skate park, the playground, the parking lot, and the pool area. And
one
they would
camera.
All. What's that, sir?
One camera or multiple?
Multiple cameras, sir. This is all within that cost. Each of them would already go to an existing outlet that does exist already in the park with electricity. So we wouldn't have an issue of changing batteries or having to monitor them. They would be professionally installed on top of those poles. The siding on them are in such a way that, with, like a license plate camera, literally we'd have to have it, at a location that would get the license plate. These will pick up literally everything and give you definition that you can zoom in and things like that. He's professionally, we're looking at having it professionally installed. And this is the long-term, the longevity, making sure that the camera systems themselves are all weather, top of the line. Again, I feel that we should present the information that is available to the individuals that are choosing to be the donors for this and let them make that decision whether they would choose to go with a professional installation or with the game cameras. I feel that that's their choice. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it and proceeding with it, is making sure that they are getting the value, the town's getting the value, and we're not exceeding any budgetary limits that they have set. And again, like I say, there is a Civic Club meeting regarding the Civic Club willing to donate to, I think Tanya was saying she wanted to add another 3 cameras to what we presently have for the whole system that would cover the whole park, parking lot, and all of that. So that's where we're at.
Either way, I think it's great. We got some options to consider. Yeah. Sounds like you did your homework on that, so that's great. Anyway, so this will be available to look at with the other group discussions as well.
Okay. Chief, thanks for putting the time into that. Any further council discussion before we call for public comment? Do we want to give a direction before, or do you just want to take public comment?
Well, to just take public comment.
Okay. Public comment.
What was the cost of yours, Ray?
The system we're looking at has a cost anywhere from $3,500, depending on how many cameras we choose, or zones, because we broke it into zones, to the maximum, I think it was 8 cameras we were looking at that point, for $6,500. And again, this is the complete installation, the cameras, the DVR system, and again, I get back to no batteries, it's all connected to electricity, and it's in a secure location.
And they totally install it.
And they totally install it.
And $6,500 is the top end on this for 8 cameras. And the totally installed system sounds, I've been out of business for a long time, but some years ago I used to sell security systems. I've sold a number of camera systems. That seems awfully cheap. I mean, are you sure it's a reputable company? Are you getting this right? What happens if it goes over budget? I mean, do you have references on this company? I assume you do. I assume they're someone well-established. $6,500 for that complicated of a network just sounds unbelievably cheap.
Mr. Smith.
Yes, sir, we did. We received his references from another local security installer right here in town that said he is the best in the valley, and he has at this point been the only one that has contacted us and is the localist, shall we say, compared to bringing somebody out of Missoula. All of his references check out. He has personally showed me on his phone the images that these cameras provide on several of his installations across the valley at some rather extensive properties, pastures, and things like that. We're looking at this from the proactive standpoint of making it the best it can be. And then I kind of had a personal conversation with him and explained to him that the soccer club is the one that is providing us with those funds, so we wanted to be as diligent and with those funds. And so he basically is giving us a discount himself to do this, because he understands the community is moving forward with this project and it's a necessary thing. So that's...
Well, I guess as a side note, if you can get it for that, that's maybe the project will come down. That's certainly wonderful. But what is being done about the police department here? I know that was addressed here in the last meeting. And are we in the process of hiring someone? Has there been an increase in crime in the town?
So,
what is the cost? What are we paying?
I apologize to cut you off. That's not necessarily what this agenda item's discussion is. I'd be happy to discuss it after the meeting with you and kind of give you an update of where we sit on the police department.
Okay.
I can do that in my executive report as well, but really to keep the meeting moving along, we're really just looking on discussion on the installation of security cameras at Wilson Clark Park and direction from the council, so we kind of have an idea of where to shepherd this.
Sure.
Okay. Any further public comment? Ms. Hecker.
Just one question. James, you had said something about 2 different cameras, or was it 2 different batteries?
2 different cameras, wireless cameras.
Okay, I can't see that.
No, I know.
So I apologize.
But I thought then they said about 10 cameras. So that's why
The 8 did not get up in the report. So there's 2 wireless cameras and 8 that are not wireless in that dollar amount. Okay.
Wireless in the sense that it'll text your phone or send you a picture.
The wireless cameras are part of the Verizon Bushnell plan that comes with those 2 cameras. And then the additional 8, which would make that 10 that you guys heard about, those 8 are non-wireless and are taking pictures when motion is detected.
They're standard trail cameras.
Right.
They're in the sense of that they're not wireless. They are wireless, but they don't connect with like the telecommunications network.
Okay, and then there was a 3-month and a 4-month. Is that just batteries that you have to go up and replace, like every 3 months or 4 months, just depending on which batteries you get?
Depending on which cameras being used.
Which cameras? Okay, that's where my confusion was. Sorry.
Okay, great.
Any further public comment? Ms. Cook.
I just have one question for Jake also. So the SD cards, how often, so let's say it's 32 gigs, how often do we have to go up and change those too?
It really depends, Kathy, on how often they're
how
being
much
activated.
Taking. Yeah.
We have to just kind of play around with it, and I check them on a regular basis at the onset if we chose this option, and then tailor it from there as to how often we go out and change them. So.
Okay. And just a little side note, since my other real job is metal poles, I would up your price.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
25% increase this year in materials. So, yeah.
But we have an in.
Yeah.
We know a gal who's in the business.
But I'm just saying that is very expensive for poles, because I know when we did some things for the high school for the sport board, there is a donation also. It gets up there. So, just so you know.
Thanks, Kathy. Mm-hmm. For the public comment, Chief Motley.
So, James, you're talking both this park and Father Valley, and you're not including Father Valley at all?
No, sir. This was specifically, as Mrs. Cook stated, for Lewis and Clark Park, specifically because that is where we're having 99.9% of our issues at this time. Further down the road, that may be something we could, as I stated before in the previous meeting, we could fundraise for these things if necessary.
Okay. Mr. Mimak, do you still have a comment?
I just wanted a clarification from, you were saying your agenda item is discussion decision / update, the installation of security cameras in Lewis Clark Park. And you're talking, you're wanting to limit the discussion just to whether or not they want to approve a cost or a something.
No, yeah, but it's just an update, basically.
Just an update about a decision that you made at a prior meeting. Mm-hmm. To install,
we'd like to update.
From which you took public comment and et cetera.
Updating on the research that's been done and the different options that are available.
I see. Okay.
Ms. Cook.
I'm sorry, one other thing I think that Mr. Smith also was discussing about with the difference between having just at Lewis and Clark and then at Fall River Valley is there might be other power issues and setting up if we went to the Fall River Valley, because that's not available like it is down here at the park. So that's one consideration. What I am most in favor of is something that's permanent, that can't be messed with, and that will be low maintenance for the town.
Sure.
I don't want everybody worrying about batteries and SD cards and things like that. I think this is probably a good option also, but I want to make sure that it's something that can be maintained easily.
Sure.
So that's,
and we have appreciation for that.
Yes.
All right, is there any final public comment? Yes.
Carolyn Nickens to 11 Buck. As I had mentioned Mr. Smith earlier, I would also like to donate to that project. And I would definitely agree with Mrs. Cook that it should be done professionally. And I would rather see your method taking seed and growing rather than all this other stuff might be halfway done. Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Cruz?
John Cruz, 316 Main Street. I think Kathy's donation is absolutely fantastic, and I appreciate it. But I have a couple of questions. Are you receiving the donations by resolution and specifying exactly how they can be spent by resolution for the money? Is money coming in income to the town? Expenditure? How's that being handled?
Mr. Smith.
The way I, Mr. Cruz, think this should be handled, it should be very similar to how we did the playground and the skate park, because the soccer club and the civic club are providing a majority of the funds other than our most recent one here. And so I feel that if we can allow that and accept their offer of doing the due diligence, making sure that it is a licensed bonded contractor that is performing said work, I think it would behoove us as a town to allow them to run with it. If it is necessary for us to create a motion that delineates all the roadway, shall we say, I would gladly do that also.
to create a motion that would give them the power to have it installed and then basically give us the turnkey for it.
Mr. Cruz.
So how does this interface with the town's purchasing policy?
Mr. Smith.
If we go through the town's purchasing policy, we would have to receive three bids, and then we would have a bidding process, just like a normal purchasing policy, because it does fall outside of those guidelines to just go ahead and do it. Again, we're trying to be prudent, trying to save money with this donation by this soccer club and individuals. So again, it's however the mayor and council wishes me to proceed, at best and prudent, is how I shall.
Mr. Minmack.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, welcome. Sorry, you're my blind spot. I'll get mirrors next time.
I was actually going to ask our attorney, since he's here, what he thought the legal way of doing this, how we should be doing this. If it should just go through the civic club and not run to us, or if we should make a resolution and have money run through us and have a line item for only just those cameras.
At this point, my understanding was the council was investigating all the options to formulate what the path forward would be. And so until we have a final decision or recommendation from either the park board, from law enforcement, from the council, I'm not going to tell you exactly which route you're going to take yet. But
okay.
Ultimately, it may pull on the purchasing policy that the council has in place once you determine how you want to proceed forward.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
So my comment was following up on that is that since you've had the discussion here about budget amendments, et cetera, it's going to be difficult, I think, to be transparent about how the money comes in and how the money goes out without spending authority within the town. You're talking about hiring a contractor. I don't think the clubs are going to hire the contractor or the civic clubs are going to hire the contractor. It seems inferred that the town is going to hire the contractor to install these on behalf of the town. You're accepting the money to do this job. Is that a fair representation to get it done?
I would have to defer to Ms. Cook.
I don't believe so, because I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when the playground and the skate park were done, those were done by those entities.
Correct.
And after it was done, they said to the park or to the town, this is now part of yours. This is the same thing I would like to do, because this is what I'm passionate about, is getting those cameras up, and then I'm going to have them installed. I'll have a bonded, licensed contractor. And bid, you know, what I'm satisfied with, put them in, say, here you go.
Okay, so it's a little, thank you for clarifying that. And I think Ms. Cook is one, she was my daughter's coach for years. She does a fabulous job in this program and has been a tremendous service to the community. The way in which it's presented tonight doesn't suggest that. I think it's a fantastic thing to consider and do, but the way it's presented here is that the council is gathering this information, remember the council is presenting it to the public, rather than, for instance, Ms. Cook or whoever else steps up and say, here's what we want to do. We have this money, we want to do this project, we want to hire the contractors and do it, and we'll cover whatever it is appropriate to our finances. That's not how I perceive it being presented. I appreciate what you're doing and saying that, you know, I'm trying to get some movement here. No problem with that. But it's not being, I don't see it represented that way. Perhaps I've missed something. I don't have an objection to either way. Either way suggests a path administratively to do it appropriately for public involvement, and including whether or not a club is going to do that. So I may have missed that discussion, but if the clubs are going to do this and separate from the town and simply present the finished product to the town, which accepts it on their behalf, that's one procedure, and if it's not, then it's a different procedure.
Sure.
Is that how you're intending to proceed? Is that, Mr. Smith, was what you were...
Yeah. Mr. Okay. Smith.
My intent is to proceed in that direction because they have offered that to us in this manner. Again, as I stated, if it is necessary or prudent due to the attorney's advice, the mayor's advice, that he chooses to go this route, I would defer again back to the soccer club of how they would want to choose to pursue this matter. I am just being a liaison for information and, again, trying to do the best I can for the community.
I think in the interest of time, at this juncture, I think it's probably fair to say that based on the discussion that's been held, that it's the intent of the individuals donating that they manage the project and turn over an asset to the town. And so I guess from this juncture, we'd move forward and the administration won't put anything else on the agenda going forward. We'll wait for a proposal to come forward from those clubs coordinating the project, saying here's what we'd like to buy, here's how it's going to get done in the timeline, and will the town bless it? Fair enough, Mr. Smith.
Do I need to make a motion, or is that acceptable? Because that's acceptable to me. If it's acceptable to Mrs. Cook and the soccer club.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. Mr. Cruz, last comment.
So I have one quick question. And I'm not trying to throw a monkey wrench in this. I want this project to go forward as much as anybody else. Okay. Has the money actually changed hands yet?
No.
Good. Great. Thank you.
Okay. Let's move on. New business item E, discussion decision to have the mayor and council participate in a convening with the Local Government Center, Montana League of Cities and Towns, and Montana Municipal Interlocal Authority. Catch up in my book here, guys. Conversations have been held with the three organizations on the item tonight, both from the executive side as well as the legislative side. I think there's been enthusiasm to briefly talked about having some sort of convening and a workshop for communication. So what we're seeking tonight, and if you have questions for Mr. Clark, he's here to answer those, but what I'm seeking tonight is just for you guys to authorize my office to work with him in scheduling a date. I think that their dates are probably going to be, or their schedule is going to be probably harder to fit than ours, and so we leave the date open at this time until we can coordinate with them. Mr. Smith?
I move that we have the mayor and council participate in convening with the Local Government Center, Montana League of Cities, and Montana Towns, and Montana Municipal Local Interlocal Authority for discussions.
Is there a second? Mr. Michelson?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to authorize the mayor to work with the Local Government Center, MLCT, and MMIA to set a convening workshop for discussions. Discussion from council? Ms. Holcomb.
I have a question. How much is this going to cost? And this is a two-part question. How much is it going to cost? And is this going to be any different from three trainings we've already had this year?
$11,709. Just poking the bear. That's a good question. I think it's important we feel to have you have a listening piece. A couple of thoughts on that. So one would be your commitment. Will it be any different? The message is going to be basically the same. It's going to be discussion, your commitment level to change. And so if there's a commitment level on your part, say, yeah, we want to come together, we want to find some resolution, both the process, procedure, relationships, and maybe a focus, a more positive focus within the community. We're happy to help facilitate that. But if there's not that level of interest, recognizing that maybe our side of the table has some issues, both sides of the table recognize they have issues, both sides of the table need to recognize that they need to make some changes. If that's where you're at and you're willing to come and we can have that discussion, I think we're happy to host that. We'd also invite the city attorney to be part of that discussion as well. And then the cost, and question. I can probably twist some arms to get our fee covered by MMIA, but I think it's important you also have some skin in the game.
Okay.
So at the outside, if this is just straight up, it'd be $500 plus travel for, I think, the league and the MMI would cover their own expenses.
Okay.
So that would be the most. Yeah. Exactly. I'm answering any questions. I'll come sit over in the corner.
Any further questions? Questions from the council? Mr. Smith, excuse me.
Do you give hugs?
No. Well, if I do, the fee goes up. So you've got to figure that out.
Okay. Any further questions from council? Any public comment? Oh, excuse me, Ms. Holcomb.
When were you planning on thinking about doing this? Because with my dad being sick, I don't have any vacation time at all this year.
We'll do it in an evening meeting, okay. Just like we would hold a council meeting. It'll be noticed to the public. It won't by any means be an executive session. And the date will depend entirely on the schedule of the three entities and how quickly we can get them here.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions from council before I take public comment? All right. Public comment? Silent. Okay. Oh, here we go.
So what is the purpose of this?
The purpose is... as I think we're all aware, there's some discord between the mayor's office, the town council, and the staff here in Stevensville. The purpose is hopefully to bring three third parties into the discussion to resolve that friction and hopefully get us a little bit better oiled and moving into a positive direction versus negative. So we're hoping, the way I envision it, it's going to be more interactive than the traditional classes that we go to on conferences. It's custom to us. It's Stevensville's issues. It's not Timbuktu's issues. And we can get much more intimate and personal on a level that we wouldn't be able to do in a conference.
I'm all for it. Sounds great.
Great. We hope you come.
So it's open to the public?
Absolutely. Any convening of the council will be open to the public. So participation may be limited, but I think we'd still allow for an opportunity for you to comment.
Yeah, so if you're working through your issues with the council, the mayor, and the staff, it would seem like you guys would need some intimate time together without people watching.
It may be a spectator sport less than an interactive discussion that we have, but nonetheless, our issues are your issues, so
okay.
It has to be open to the public. There's it's an open meeting.
Okay.
So I would just like to comment briefly about so many times when members of the public, myself sometimes included, come to a meeting, a lot of times it's because we don't like something. We want to complain about something. We want to raise an objection to something. This is an opportunity to really appreciate the council in its totality and the mayor's office in particular to recognize that we could all use some guidance here. And the first step in looking at solving any problem is to recognize that there might be one. And I think it's a tremendous advancement in the council's and the mayor's cooperation that you're willing to put this together, and you should be congratulated on taking that very proactive step, because it's not easy to do. And it allows, you know, the public to weigh in on some basis, and it's just a tremendous opportunity that you're setting yourself to do, and you should be thanked. I would like to thank you personally for doing that. It's a tremendous public service that you open yourself up to saying, hey, listen, we want to look at our process. How can we make this better? That's a great thing, and you should be thanked for that. So thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Cook?
Just two quick questions. I'm sorry, he was kind of mumbling, but was that $5,500 that you said?
$500,
okay.
That's cheap.
Probably my master club.
Well, yeah.
Are you in the donating business?
Yeah.
Ms. Lowell, go ahead with your public comment.
I hope that you hire an officer very, very soon. All of us on this, my neighbors, we've been very intimidated and scared with everything going on between Main Street, you know, the church. The hotel was broken into. That's getting very close to our homes. And I think we really, really need someone out patrolling at night. There's people up and down the streets fighting in the alley. Kids are skateboarding on a bank. I mean, it's just, I think, time.
You're heard.
Thank you.
Ms. Barker?
to get back to having Dan and his staff come, I think it should be something that is with us. Public can sit and listen, but for them to weigh in, I think it's our time to try to work together as a team. And I think sometimes if public weighs in on it, then we lose track of what we're there for.
Okay. I kind of think you have to allow public to comment.
Sure.
You can't? No.
Well, the experts would correct us if we're wrong.
Let us know. But I was wondering about the staff. That seems kind of sensitive. How would you handle that? The employees?
We'll let them drive it. I mean,
it's optional.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that they have, their own set of discussion points that should be incorporated in the conversation. I don't think we'll tread into any territory where it would warrant a closed session, but I think it's more global issues. Answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Public comment? Anything further? Great. Call for the vote. Councilmember Barker.
Do we have a motion on the?
Yes. Councilmember Smith moved to participate in a convening date forthcoming.
Okay. Aye.
Ms. Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Smith?
Aye.
Great. Thank you. That concludes the business portion of our agenda. In the executive report, Ms. Lowell, you'll be pleased to hear that we've extended an offer of employment to a new police officer. Did you catch that?
No, I'm sorry. I thought
we've extended. No, we just have a couple more things to do.
Okay.
We've extended an offer of employment to a new police officer who will, unfortunately, not work nights. They'll be based primarily at the school. But they do have a couple of hoops to jump through before that employment offer is firm. So nonetheless, we're moving forward on that process, and we're excited to have the individual on board. The only other thing I wanted to cover in my executive report, you've been updated just as early as last week on some happenings. Because we're holding a meeting October 1st, it's very important, and obviously it'll have to be now because you approved the resolution. It's very important that we have the agenda, any agenda items that you want to submit for that meeting to us by noon on Wednesday, and earlier if possible, because the clerk and I are traveling over to Butte Wednesday afternoon or evening for the MLCT conference. So we'll be out Wednesday afternoon through, we'll be back, we'll return Friday afternoon, so we'll be back then. And Audrey has court all day, so the earlier the better for that. We'll get that turned around as quickly as possible. Other than that, I don't necessarily have anything pressing to report. Council comments? Ms. Holcomb.
I just want to extend that I will be there from 6 to 8.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And you will receive some. Can you give me your email address, or do you want me to use the town's one?
You can use the town.
Okay. One. Because we'll send you some information.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Barker.
I too would like to attend that evening meeting, as the day meeting will not work for me.
So 2 weeks. Great.
All right. Any other council comment from you guys before I move on to this side? Mr. Smith.
I'm going to do breakfast and dinner. So I attended a court here last week. I really think we need to look at that as a council also. The judge was running basically everything back and forth. Just incredible what she was doing and handling the court. And again, I would like to thank Brian for his job there. But we have some issues there that we need to look at, because what she's doing is tough.
To clarify, the clerk was out of town on a court conference that
I understand, but if that's what everybody's doing, we need to kind of reassess the situation.
Don't disagree. Okay. Any other council comments? Board reports? Mr. Smith?
attended the airport board. They would like to extend a thank you to the council for the grant approval and also for taking the Morrison-Merrily contract and extending it for another 5 years because they have all of the documentation for the new and improved apron ways and things like that that are upcoming through this grant cycle. So they just wanted to extend some appreciation to the council on that.
Okay. Any other board reports? Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Ms. Holcomb?
I move we adjourn.
Is there a second? Ms. Tucker?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thanks for the meeting.
Okay.
Were you joking or
no? I'll
probably do the morning one.
Okay.
I'll do the morning one. Okay. Okay. I'll send you the email.
Why are we going to concentrate on the school if such as a separate entity and you need the county's protection?
I don't disagree with you. I'm kind of stuck with the budget that the council set and the contract we have with the school. But we're trying to formulate and work with the school to figure out a way to kind of get out of that.
Really? Because we've already paid taxes on the school and tax on the town.
And I did formulate a plan with the chief of police to be able to bring two officers on.
Yeah.
But in this climate with the council, I didn't think it would pass. And so as much as I'd love to do that, you know, the way they reacted to the levy, I haven't brought it forward, but I'd love to.
Thank you.
You're welcome anytime.
Can you reveal the name?
Kevin. Do you not know he applied?